Here at the Trinity College Dramatic Society, we are proud to present a new adaptation by Claire Ellis of Bram Stoker's classic novel, Dracula.
In my old age, I have recently begun the task of sorting through papers collected and typed up by Mina Harker so many years ago. I have little else to put in order, and few people to remember. But I feel it is only right to collect these documents and put that dark story in a form that might be found by anyone so desperate as we have been. I am nearly the last one of us left. I have before me the diary of poor Jonathan Harker, my own phonograph recordings, for I used to like to speak my diary, the correspondence between Lucy and Mina, Mina's diary, and a handful of newspaper clippings and memoranda. Whether the whole horror is contained within these accounts, I will never know for certain, but I hope and pray that all we learned of value is. I believe all our failings were a matter of speed. We were too slow, and he traveled too fast. If we had had a story like this one before us, perhaps it would have made all the difference. No one, I can imagine, can have felt more keenly than Jonathan Harker. This is the whole of his diary.
May the 4th, Bistritz, Transylvania. After an uneasy sleep, I had some bits of beef and onions for breakfast. I miss a good English egg. When I left the inn to catch my coach, I found the landlady talking to the driver and the people milling out in front. Now, they seemed to be speaking several different languages, but of course I brought my polyglot dictionary with me, and there were a few terms repeated often enough that I managed to look them up. I must say, they were not cheering to me, for among them were bulldog, Satan, puffle, hell, strigoica, witch, rolock and rolockslack, one Slavic and the other a Serbian, for something that is either werewolf or vampire. I must ask the Count about these superstitions.
Young hare, must you go?
Please, ma'am, as I have told you, I am engaged on important business.
Do you know what day it is?
The 4th of May?
Oh, I know. But do you know what day it is?
I don't understand. If you'll excuse.
It is the eve of St. George's Day. Do you not know that tonight, when the clock strikes midnight, all the evil things in the world will have full sway? Do you know where you are going and what you are going to?
Look, madam, I have promised the Count my swift arrival, and I cannot be delayed. Please, there is no need for all this distress. I have just passed my solicitor's exam, you know.
One day! Wait just one night!
I'm sorry, I really must go.
Please, young hare, take my crucifix.
I really shouldn't. Church of England, you know.
For your mother's sake.
Well, thank you. I'll take good care of it. With the landlady appeased, I boarded the coach. As I climbed in, the other passengers made a sort of sign, apparently to ward off the evil eye. And if the landlady hadn't made such a fuss about the date and where I was going, I might have been quite offended. It was a long ride to the place where I was meant to meet the Count's coach. The road often became narrow and cut through rock. In certain places, it was incredibly steep. I'll get out and walk, so as not to tire the horses.
No. You must not walk here. The dogs are too fierce. And you may have enough of such matters before you go to sleep.
As it became dark, the other passengers grew excited and seemed to be urging the coachman on, faster and faster. We were between two massive cliffs, racing towards a light spot in the dark that must have been the Borgo Pass, where I was supposed to make the count. As we came out on the other side, the air turned thunderous, as though we had crossed into another atmosphere. Finally, the road was clear before us. The pass was empty. The Count's carriage was not there. The others seemed relieved. I was disappointed and uncertain what to do.
An hour less than the time.
What was that?
There is no carriage here. The hare is not expected after all. He will now come on to Bukovina and return tomorrow. Or the next day. Better the next day.
You are early tonight, my friend.
The English hare was in a hurry.
That is why, I suppose, you wished him to go on to Bukovina. You cannot deceive me, my friend. I know too much, and my horses are swift.
For the dead travel fast.
So it has been said. Give me the hare's luggage. The night is chill, mein Herr, and my master, the Count, bade me take all care of you. There is a flask underneath the seat, if you should require it.
Oh, thank you, I'm quite all right for now. The driver went hard down the road for quite some time, made a complete turn, and went along another straight road. It seemed to me that we were going over and over the same ground again, so I took note of a small landmark and found that this was so. I feared to ask the driver what this meant, for if he was intending to delay me, he would not listen. Nearly midnight. At some point, there appeared a faint, flickering blue flame. The driver jumped down to the ground, checked the horses, and went off towards it. There was a strange optical effect. For a brief moment, when he stood between me and the flame, he did not obstruct it, for I could see its ghostly flicker all the same. He moved on and soon disappeared into the darkness. The horses began to tremble, though I could not see any cause for it, as the wolves had ceased to howl. Then, the moon came from behind the clouds, and by its light I saw around us a ring of wolves with white teeth and long red tongues, long sinewy limbs and shaggy hair. They were 100 times more terrible in that grim silence than when they howled. I felt a sort of paralysis of fear. Same instant the moon appeared, they began to howl at it, and the horses jumped and reared. Driver, come back! Our only chance to break through! Quickly, man!
Lene Stitziva!
How he came there, I know not, but I heard his voice raised in a tone of imperious command, and there he stood in the roadway. As he swept his long arms, the wolves fell back and back farther still. He climbed back into the coach, and the wolves disappeared. This was all so strange and uncanny that a dreadful fear came upon me. I was afraid to speak or move. We swept on in almost complete darkness. We kept on ascending, in the main, always ascending. And must have been asleep. But suddenly I started, and saw the driver pulling up the horses in the midst of a courtyard of a vast ruined castle.
Let me give you a hand down, mein Herr.
Thank you. You've an impressive grip. Hello? Where are you going? He's just gone. Wait, how do I get in? There's no knocker, no handle. Mm.
Welcome to my house. Come freely. Go safely. And leave something of the happiness you bring.
Count Dracula?
I am Dracula. And I bid you welcome Mr. Harker to my house. Come in.
The night air is chill. And you must need to eat and rest.
Is this all your luggage?
No, that's quite all right. I can manage.
Nay, sir. You are my guest.
It is late, and my people are not available. Let me see to your comfort myself.
I pray you, be seated and sup how you please. You will, I trust, excuse me that I do not join you, but I have dined already.
It looks delicious. Oh, here is the letter from Mr. Hawkins.
Your Mr. Hawkins writes, I regret to say that gout prevents any traveling. But I am happy to say I can send a sufficient substitute in whom I have every possible confidence. He is faithful, discreet, and silent, and shall take your instruction in all matters.
That's very kind of Mr. Hawkins.
Yes.
Will you allow me to refresh your wine?
Yes, thank you. Are you having any?
Oh, no. I never drink wine. Listen to them, the children of the night. What music they make. Ah, sir, you dwellers of the city cannot enter into the feelings of the hunter. But you must be tired. Your bedroom is all ready, and tomorrow you shall sleep as late as you will.
I have to be away until the afternoon. So sleep well, and dream well.
I have to be absent for a while. Do not wait for me. D. May 5th, the castle. After my midnight dinner with the Count, I must have fallen asleep sometime in the early hours. My room, I assume this room I've woken up in is to be mine, is large and comfortable, with a pleasant view of the castle courtyard far, far below. I don't remember going to bed, but I have slept until very late in the day and found my breakfast laid out. Some of the dishes in this country are excellent, but I don't see how I shall get the recipes for Mina if the food keeps silently appearing like this. I have not yet seen any sign of the Count's servants, except, well, his driver. When the Count shook my hand, his hand had the same icy grip as the driver's. If they are the same man, I don't know what to make of it. I am all in a sea of wonders. I think strange things, which I dare not confess to my own soul. God keep me, if only for the sake of those dear to me. Oh, the library. The London Directory, Whittaker's Almanac, the Army and Navy lists, the Law List.
Ah, you have found the library.
Yes. I hope you don't mind. I was surprised to find so many English books.
I am glad. Those books have been good friends to me ever since I had the idea of going to London. Through them, I have come to know your great England. I long to go through the crowded streets of your mighty London, to be in the midst of the whirl and rush of humanity, to share its life, its change, its death, and all that makes it what it is. But alas, I only know your language through these books, and through you I must know it to speak.
But Count, you know and speak English thoroughly.
But did I move and speak in your London? None there are who would not know me for a stranger. That is not enough for me. Here I am noble. The common people know me, and I am master. But a stranger in a strange land, he is no one. I have been master so long that I would be master still, or at least that none other be master of me. You come to me, not alone, as agent of my friend, Peter Hawkins of Exeter, to tell me about my new estate in London. You shall, I trust, rest here a while, so that by our talking I may learn the English intonation. When I make any error, even of the smallest, you must tell me, Jonathan Harker. I am sorry I had to be away so long today, but you will, I know, forgive one who has so many important affairs in hand.
Oh, of course, and I am most willing to oblige with the, speaking. may I indeed return to your library when I choose?
You may go anywhere you wish in the castle, except where the doors are locked. There is reason that all things are as they are. And did you see with my eyes, you would better understand.
Transylvania is not England.
But perhaps you have already seen this.
Yes, I certainly have.
If you have the leisure, you ought to study of our history. We are a proud house, though I am the last.
Was it not a Dracula who, as voivode, crossed the Danube and beat back armies on their own ground? Woe was it that his own brother sold his people when he had fallen. And did not that Dracula inspire another of his race to bring his forces again and again over the river? Who, when he was beaten back,
came again and again, though he had to come alone from the bloody field where his troops were being slaughtered, because he knew that he alone could ultimately triumph. They say he thought only of himself. Ah! What good are peasants without a leader? Come, tell me of London and of the house which you have procured for me. Come to my table.
Oh, then excuse me one moment. I'll fetch the papers from my room.
There is no need, my friend. You have already brought them to me.
Oh, right. Well then.
It was you, was it not, who first discovered this notable property? Please, tell me of how you found it.
Oh, you can just say, tell me how you found it. At Purfleet, I came across a large and very old house with a dilapidated notice that the place was for sale. It was surrounded by a high wall and an old iron gate eaten with rust. The estate is called Carfax, for the house is four-sided, and it is somewhat gloomy because of the shade of many trees and the deep, dark lake. It is clearly medieval, with an old chapel. There are a few houses near it, one being a very large house, only recently formed into a private lunatic asylum. It is not, however, visible from the grounds.
I am glad that it is old and big. To live in a new house would kill me. A house cannot be made habitable in a day. And after all, how few days go to make up a century? I rejoice also that there is a chapel. We Transylvanian nobles love not to think that our bones may lie amongst the common dead. The gloom is nothing to me. I am no longer young, and my heart, through weary years of mourning over the dead, is not attuned to mirth. Moreover, the walls of my castle are broken. I am used to the shade and the shadow, and would be alone when I may.
Yes, indeed.
Why, there is the morning again. Oh, hurry, miss, I am to let you stay up so long. You must make your conversation less interesting so I may not forget how the time flies. You will excuse me. Sleep well and dream well.
I can't keep sleeping through the day like this. Afternoon already. God, I need a shave. Of course, there's no mirror. Where's my little travel one?
Good morning.
Oh, I didn't see you in the mirror. How on earth? Oh, damn, I've cut myself. Have you any plaster?
Take care! Take care how you cut yourself! It is more dangerous than you think in this country. And this wretched thing that hath done the mischief! It is a foul bauble of man's vanity. Away with it!
Now, have you written since you came to our friend, Mr. Peter Hawkins, or any other?
I have not, as I have not seen the opportunity to send any letters.
Then write now, my young friend. Write to our friend and to any other, and say, if it will please you, that you shall stay with me until a month from now.
Do you wish me to stay so long?
I desire it much. Nay, I will take no refusal. When your master, employer, what you will, engaged that someone should come on his behalf, it was understood that my needs only were to be consulted. I have not stinted. Is it not so?
Yes, of course, you have been a most considerate host.
I pray you, my good friend, that you will not discourse of things other than business in your letters. It will doubtless please your friends to know that you are well, and that you look forward to getting home to them. Is it not so? And do you not think, my friend, that as the posts are so few and uncertain, that you should write 3 more letters? One saying that your work is nearly done and you will start for home in a few days. One, that you are starting on the next morning. And the third, that you had left my castle and arrived at Bistritz.
Why on earth would I do such a thing? My correspondence, as a solicitor, has always been sacred to me.
You do not want your loved ones to worry, do you? You would not want dear Mina to fear for your life, simply because the post has gone astray.
Well, I...
No. I shall ensure that these letters are held in Bistritz until due time, in case you decide to stay longer. And that way, there will be no mistakes or inaccuracies that a solicitor must be embarrassed of.
And what date shall I give these letters?
The first should be June 12th, the second, June 19th, and the third, June 29th.
June 29th.
I trust you will forgive me, but I have much work to do in private this evening. You will, I hope, find all things as you wish. Let me advise you, my dear young friend, that should you leave these rooms, you will not by any chance go to sleep in any other part of the castle. It is old, and has many memories, and there are bad dreams for those who sleep unwisely. Be warned! If you be not careful in this respect, then, well... But it is nearly night now. Perhaps you are already tired, in which case I pray you will sleep well and dream well.
No, I'm not tired. I have too much work to do. I certainly will not be sleeping anytime soon.
As you wish.
I shall leave these rooms. And if there aren't any mirrors in the rest of this place, I'll shave in a puddle outside.
Crack the window. Let him hear the wolves.
Put a cushion on the chair.
You've flowers in your hair. Put them in his water.
Shroud the bed.
Locked. You may go anywhere you wish, except where doors are locked. They're all locked! Except this one. I wonder why not this one. May 6th, the castle. There is something so strange about this place that I wish I were safe out of it, or that I had never come. If there were anyone to talk to, I could bear it, but there is no one. I have only the Count to speak with, and he... I fear I am the only living soul within this place. This strange night existence is telling on me. Let me be prosaic, so far as facts can be. I must not let my imagination run riot. When I woke up this evening... No, after the Count had me write the letters, I went to make a thorough examination of the castle. I caught a glimpse of the Count in the dining room and went past him cautiously. I saw that he was taking away the dishes from last night. This confirmed what I had all along thought, that there were no servants in this vast castle, and only the Count, making my bed and bringing me food. Now, that gave me a fright, but as I went on exploring, I nearly forgot all about it. Doors, doors, doors everywhere, and all of them locked and bolted. The great entrance, locked. At last, however, I found one door which gave when I pulled at it, and I write presently from that very room. Here is a wing, evidently occupied by the ladies and by bygone days. There is a dread loneliness in the place. Still, it is better than living alone in my rooms, which I have come to hate from the presence of the Count. Here I am, sitting at a little oak table, where, in old times, possibly some fair lady sat to pen her love letters, writing in my own diary all that has happened since I closed it up last, up to the minute. It is 19th century, up to date with a vengeance. And yet, unless my senses deceive me, the old centuries had, and have, powers of their own, which mere modernity cannot kill. Oh, and the view from this room is magnificent. The side of the castle is on the very edge of a terrific precipice, where a stone could fall 1,000 feet without touching anything but air. I have seen the rest of the castle. This abyss is a view on 3 sides, from every window but mine, which overlooks the courtyard. The view is beautiful, but I am not in heart to describe beauty. This castle is a prison, and I a prisoner. I won't go back to my room, no matter what he said. Why shouldn't I sleep here?
Jonathan. Go on. You go first, and we will follow.
He is young and strong. We will each have a turn.
Oh, don't look so frightened, Jonathan. One kiss each. Is that so terrible?
I'm engaged. Mina.
Mina, Mina, Mina. My name is Mina.
And mine is Mina.
And mine is mine. But you can call me Mina.
Stop it!
You were so sleepy before. Aren't you sleepy now?
Sometimes when a man is very tired, he dreams while he is awake.
He sees whatever he wants to see.
How dare you touch him! Any of you when I had forbidden it! Back! This man belongs to me.
But he's in love with Mina. She is Mina, and she is Mina. And I am Mina, and he is mine. You don't know anything about love. You've never loved.
You know from my past that I can. Well, I promise when I have done with him, you shall kiss him at your will. Now go! There is work that he and I must do.
Are we to have nothing tonight?
Try the little room.
I...
Sleep and dream.
Morning. Did I dream it all? If I didn't, he must have carried me. What time is it? My watch. Where is it? Where? What on earth?
What is it that you are missing?
My suit, my coat, my paper, my railway timetable, all gone.
Your suit is being cleaned, my friend. For you must away tomorrow.
I must? I mean, am I?
Yes, my friend. We must part. You return to your beautiful England. I do some work which may have such an end that we may never meet. Tomorrow I shall not be here, but all shall be ready for your journey. Some men will come at dawn and do some work here. And when they are gone, my carriage will bring you back
to meet the coach from Bukovina. But I am in hopes I shall see more of you at Castle Dracula.
Why may I not go tonight?
My coach is away.
I would walk with pleasure. I want to get away at once.
And your baggage? Your suit?
I will send for them.
Welcome the coming! Speed departing guest! Not an hour shall you wait in my house against your will. Though sad I am at your going, and that you should so suddenly desire it. Come! Time is not yet come. Have patience. Tonight is mine. Tomorrow night is yours.
What on earth? These may be the last words I ever write in this diary. Tomorrow is the date put on my life. Look at that. Looking from the window. We have just seen the Count's head coming out of some other window. Probably his own. I knew him by the movement of his neck and arms. And then I saw the whole man emerge from the window and begin to crawl down the castle wall over the abyss. No, the courtyard. Face down with his cloak spreading out about him like great wings. At first I could not believe my eyes. I thought it was a trick of the moonlight. But I kept looking and I saw the fingers and toes grasp the corners of the stones and thus move downwards with considerable speed, just as a lizard moves along a wall. What manner of creature is this in the semblance of a man? I am in fear, awful fear, and there is no escape for me. Oh, my suit, under his cloak. No doubt he means to post my letters disguised as me. There is no way out from such a web. It seems there is no way out of this castle, if the Count himself leaves by crawling down the walls. If only I could get into his room and find the key to the front door. But all the doors are locked, and I dare not leave my room with those women waiting. I would wait for the morning, and perhaps I can break in the door. Almost on. But there is a way, if one dares to take it. I could imitate him and go where he goes. It's not so far from my room across to his. I have wasted too much time already. I don't know when he will return, and this is the last day he means to leave me alive. I shall risk it. At the worst, it can only be death. The precipice is steep and high, at its foot a man may sleep. As a man. Goodbye, Mina, if I fail.
Here ends Jonathan Harker's diary.
But there is nothing here! Where does he sleep? What's this, a closet? Hello? I suppose I must continue on. Mina, Lord, if you could see this. What's this, a chapel? There's an old ruined chapel here, Mina, and the roof is broken and the last of the moonlight is coming in. I don't like the look of moonlight anymore. The ground is all dug up and the place is full of boxes. About 50 wooden boxes about the size of coffins. What does one do in a chapel full of boxes, Mina? I need a key for the main door or else I'll have to risk climbing all the way to the ground. I have to look for the key. I can't climb that far. I'll look for the key. The box boxes are full of dirt, Nina. Transylvania is a strange place with strange customs, the Count says. This one too, full of dirt. Mina! Mina, the Count is lying in a box. Mina, he looks dead, but younger. His hair has gone from grey to black, and his eyes are open. There's blood. They're on his mouth. He's looking at me. His eyes are dead, but staring right at me. I must get the key. Do it. Where is it? I don't think there's a key, Mina. I can't let you go to England. I've already done too much. I've helped you set your plan in motion. I can't let you go. No. Get away!
Hello, Jonathan. How did you get in here?
Are you saying goodbye to your master?
Will you miss him very much?
We will keep you company, Jonathan.
Stay back!
You can't fight us.
No, but I mean to kill him while I can.
Oh, you can't do that.
Not with a shovel.
Hush!
How then? Tell me. Look, perhaps I can't escape you. But if you help me kill him, you can do as you please. He keeps you prisoners here too, doesn't he? Brings you food. But only he leaves this place. And now he's leaving you behind to starve. Kill him and you will be free.
It's too late for that, Jonathan Harker. We are free of many things, but we cannot be free from him.
It is heartbreaking to know that he can be so easily free of us.
But we will console ourselves together, won't we, Jonathan?
And Mina will console herself, alone, in England.
Then I'll do it. Workmen, then it's nearly time. They'll see him. They must. I'll tell them what he is, and then we can kill him. Wait. Wait, don't you see what he is? Don't take him. Wait, stop! Don't take him away. Oh, take me with you. Don't leave me here with them. Please. I can't climb again over that abyss. There's no other way out. Even the Count is gone, and I am alone. Either I wait to die at the hands of those women, whatever they are, or I climb. Mina, I'll do it.